Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
The Good Book Company in the UK has sifted through some of the big questions Christians ask, or perhaps are too afraid to ask, and then sought out the counsel of pastors and theologians around the world to answer them. How will the world end? Did or can the devil make me do it? How can I be sure that I'm saved? Is God anti-gay is today's question. Sam Albury has been in Christian leadership for about 10 years now and is an associate pastor at St Mary's Church in Maidenhead in the UK. Since his teens, Sam has resisted his same-sex attraction and brings a very personal perspective to what the Bible says about same-sex relationships. Sam, thank you for joining us on Open House. How did you first respond to the emerging realization that you were more attracted to your own gender?
I think panic is probably the best word. I just wanted to be, you know, that kind of age. I just wanted to be like everybody else, to fit in. I didn't know anyone else in that kind of situation at school. This is 20 years ago, so it would have been very much sort of frowned upon. So I think confusion and panic and sort of thinking, I must have got that wrong. I'm sure it will all turn out fine in the end, and all those sorts of feelings.
What did you do with those emotions and feelings? Did you share them with anybody? Did you seek counsel? Did you just bury them in a hole and assume that everything would be okay?
I buried them in a hole. That was the strategy. It took a while for me to really come to terms with it myself. The burying in the hole thing just made me think, if I just ignore it, it will go away. It didn't go away, and I subsequently came to faith in Christ, and then a few years into that was thinking, this is a thing, it's not going away, I'm going to need to start talking to people about this. It was becoming distressing. So I think that was probably around the age of 22-ish, I started to think, I need help here.
So now you've compounded the isolation and loneliness that you're feeling, knowing that something is different with you, with perhaps a spiritual guilt about the expectations of somebody in faith and these feelings.
Yes. So I, as a Christian, they were feelings I desperately didn't want to feel. And again, I wanted to do the normal young guy Christian thing. I wanted to meet a nice Christian girl and settle down and get married and have kids and all that sort of thing. And this was a completely different kind of set of expectations that were beginning to dawn on me. So it was a difficult time.
Did you explore romantic relationships with either sex?
I did with a girl, or two different girls on two different occasions, and again, that was part of what made me realise that this was a thing. Two Christian girls who I, obviously not at the same time, who I was very, very fond of, got on very, very well with, and yet I began to realise there was just no physical attraction.
Sam, when you did start to share your same-sex attraction with friends and family, what were you looking for at that point? Was it advice, support, or simply a safe space to share?
I think I was just looking to share. It's one of those things where it's not the most important thing in my life.
Yeah.
It does touch on quite a few personal issues, and with good friends, there was often the conversation, is there anyone you've got your eye on at the moment, and all those sorts of things. And it felt like a betrayal of my good friends not being able to give them the whole answer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd sort of fob them off with some, not really at the moment, or, there's someone I quite like, but I don't know what to do. And it just made me think, these people are my good friends. I don't like withholding something so personal from them. And also, I need people I can talk to about this.
Sam, where does your faith intersect with your natural attraction to other men?
My faith teaches me that I'm both made in God's image and fallen, and therefore in every aspect of my life there are things that are not as God intended them to be. I guess my faith tells me that the Bible says I'm, in one sense, I'm no different to anybody else, because all of us have desires and deep desires for things that are not what God has intended for us. And actually all of us are are sexually broken. So it's just another kind of what everyone experiences. So as I feel those desires, I recognise they're not part of the Creator's design for me. They seem inherent in me, but that doesn't mean that they're right. And they're just part of what it means to live in a fallen world with a fallen body and yet wanting to honour the Lord.
Sam, I get the sense in your book that your biblical perspective on same-sex attraction is that it's not the attraction that's the sin, it's the acting on it.
Yes, I want to add some nuance and caveats. So I feel a certain temptation towards other men. Temptation isn't sin, but obviously what we do with that temptation might be. So the fact that I feel desires doesn't mean I can sort of entertain them in my mind and fantasize about them and that kind of thing. I need to resist those temptations as they come.
Mm-hmm.
So the feelings, having the temptation I don't think is a sin, but I need to be very careful how I respond to that temptation.
Sam, I was intrigued with your contrast between the heart of heterosexual versus homosexual desire, in that heterosexual desire, by your definition, is an attraction to something that we are not, where homosexual desire, at least in some cases, is born out of a fascination with something that we want to be. Would you fill out the detail there for us?
What I'm trying to explain, I guess, is that for want of better terminology, heterosexual desire and homosexual desire are not symmetrical. So it seems to me in the Bible that one of the things that we see going on in Genesis 1 and 2 with Adam and Eve and in the Christian understanding of marriage is that it's the difference between the man and the woman that forms the depth of the union between them. And therefore what's going on with heterosexual desire is you are desiring someone who is unlike you. In homosexual desire, obviously you are desiring someone who is the same kind of gender as you are. And in my experience, this is not the case in every instance of same-sex attraction, but I've certainly seen it in a lot of instances. What often happens as well within the same-sex attraction is it's not just a sexual attraction to the other person, but a desire to be like that other person, a sense in which there's a bit of an idolatry going on as well. So in my experience, it's not just been that I've felt an attraction towards a particular man, but actually they've embodied something I've really wanted, and therefore I'm both attracted to them and I want to be them. Again, that's not the case for everyone with same-sex attraction, but it's been a feature of many people that I've spoken to.
Sam, let's turn to a hypothetical case study of a gay couple who come to church. They're committed to each other. They're in a monogamous relationship. Their faith is drawn from their perspective of a God who created them this way and wouldn't want them destined to a life of abject loneliness. They've found their life partner, and now they wish to worship with other believers. What's your perspective on that relationship?
Yes, I've got good friends who are gay. Some of them would call themselves Christians. Some of them would not. There are a couple of things to say to that kind of challenge. One is that the phrase "I'm born a certain way." Again, we need to understand who we are in the light of what the scriptures tell us, and our understanding of sin and the fall is such that all of us are born in a way that is not how we were intended to be. The biblical doctrine of original sin, I think, is extremely helpful on this whole area, because all of us are born with desires and wants and inclinations that are not right.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we were born with them doesn't mean that they are natural in the sense of being God's plan for us. So whether scientifically we can say that someone is born gay or not, I don't know, but I don't think it makes much difference, because we're all, in the biblical way of thinking, we're all born in sin. So in that sense, all of us have inclinations that feel natural to us that may have been with us since birth, and yet which are not right. And therefore, the fact that a relationship may be committed and faithful does not mean that it is therefore godly. In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul rebukes the church because it is tolerating a relationship between a man and his father's wife, most likely his stepmother. And Paul doesn't say, you know, let's just check first to see if it's faithful or not. He rebukes them because it is a prohibited form of relationship. So I think we just need to be careful not to think that faithfulness is the big key to everything. If a relationship is illicit in the Bible, it's still illicit, even if it's being expressed with faithfulness and loyalty.
Sam, what's your perspective on deliverance ministries? Many hold a passionate belief that same-sex attraction can be cured, can be diminished if they can find the right minister or ministry.
People can be delivered from these feelings and from these temptations. But the question is, if it is the Lord's will, we're not promised that deliverance. I do know one or two people who have been dramatically changed in their desires. I don't know whether deliverance would be the right word in every instance. I know many more who haven't, and I think I guess I would approach it in a similar way to the whole issue of healing. I believe God can heal. I know of instances where he has healed, but I don't think he promises us all healing if we pray in a certain way or go through a certain ministry and all the rest of it. Sometimes God brings glory to himself by dramatically changing our situation and relieving us of a particular affliction. At other times he brings glory to himself by teaching us to bear up under that affliction and to still be looking to him and trusting in him. So yes, I think it's possible for God to change the nature of someone's sexual desires, and I know of cases where that's happened, but it's not a promise that I see given to us in the Bible. And actually, I don't think it is the chief priority for us. I, in one sense, I would like my sexual desires to change, but actually, the most important change that needs to happen in my life is that I become more like Christ. And if you flicked a switch this morning and I suddenly went from same-sex attraction to opposite-sex attraction, I would still struggle with sexual temptation.
Yeah.
It would just be of a different kind. The most important thing in my life, and that the change I most pray for, is that God would make me more like Jesus.
In many ways, Sam, there's probably no more potentially threatening an environment for somebody with a same-sex attraction than a church community. What can people inside that community do to support those who come to them with a same-sex attraction?
That's a great question, and I'm encouraged as I go around different churches and visit different Christian communities to see the extent to which churches are wanting to help on this issue. I'm so encouraged at how the kind of Christian world is kind of approaching this issue at the moment. There are a couple of things. One is it's got to be an issue people feel safe talking about, and so we must create the kind of culture within our church families where someone can say that they're struggling with this issue. So that's the first thing. The second thing would be, I think, to recognize that all of us are sexually broken. All of us are attracted to things that we shouldn't be attracted to. In that sense, none of us is straight. We're all skewed.
Mm.
And again, recognizing that, there's a sense in which someone with same-sex attraction has different experiences to someone with opposite-sex attraction. But I think it helps to minimize the difference, to realize that actually all of us are sexually broken. So it makes the same-sex attracted Christian feel less like they're especially kind of broken or odd. It's just another expression of something all of us experience. So I think it's good for churches to recognize that and not to put those with same-sex attraction in a completely separate box. The other thing is for most people with same-sex attraction, singleness will be our calling and our vocation. I know of some same-sex attracted Christians who've managed to marry people of the opposite sex and have a healthy marriage, that won't be the case for all. And so again, our churches need to be places where singleness feels like a realistic and healthy way to live. And we must make sure that, again, that our church life and culture doesn't make those who are single feel as though that's just going to be unremitting isolation.
Sam Albury, thanks so much for your time and the ease with which you've canvassed some pretty thorny topics around same-sex attraction and people of faith. Your book, Is God Anti-Gay, is available right now. And what have you on your website, thegoodbook.com.au?
The Good Book website certainly has the Is God Anti-Gay book, plus an interview with me on video. Another website, if I can mention it, is livingout.org. which is a website really built around the testimonies of a number of us in different situations, all of whom experience same-sex attraction and yet are wanting to live faithfully for Christ. So I'd love for your listeners to look at that, livingout.org, and I hope that will be a resource to the church to understand this issue more and to think through how they can help more, but especially for those listening for whom this is an issue for them, to hear the testimonies of a number of us who are living for Christ with this issue.
Sam Albury, brilliant to make the connection with you. Thank you for joining us in Open House around Australia.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.